NPR.
Hey everyone, it's Cardiff. And before we start today's show, I want to ask for a favor. If you can go to npr.org/podcast survey, there you're going to find a survey where you can tell us how often you're listening to The Indicator, what you like about it, and just in general, how you are using podcasts. It's short, it's anonymous, it really does help the show. And I'm not even asking for money. It's free. It's a free way to help the show, and we'd really appreciate it. Thanks so much. And now, on with today's show.
Hey everyone, it's Cardiff and Stacey. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. Before the coronavirus pandemic, most of us who had jobs did not work from home. We went to an actual workplace. And now, businesses all throughout the country, throughout the world, are having to redesign those workplaces to make them safe for the COVID-19 era and after.
But of course, different workplaces have different problems, and they need different approaches to solve them. A factory will have to be redesigned in a way that's different from, say, a corporate office building, which itself has different problems than a retail store has.
And to find out more about how companies are thinking about and solving these kinds of problems, we called someone who runs a company that itself has three very distinct kinds of workplaces.
I'm Dave Gilboa, co-founder and co-CEO of Warby Parker.
Warby Parker makes and sells eyeglasses. About half its sales are online. You place an order, Warby Parker mails your glasses to your house. Those eyeglasses are assembled at Warby Parker's Optical Lab, a manufacturing facility. That is one of its workplaces. And Warby Parker also has about 120 retail stores throughout the U.S. and Canada. That is a second kind of workplace.
And then finally, the third kind of workplace. Warby Parker has two big corporate offices, like its headquarters in New York City, where 300 people work. That includes managers and executives, but also photographers and designers and its other white-collar employees.
So how are Warby Parker and other businesses redesigning their workplaces so that workers can safely return? So let's start with manufacturing. One of the challenges that factories and manufacturing facilities face is that the workers will often come into contact with each other as they move their product, whatever it is they're making, from one stage of completion to the next. And a lot of factories are open spaces with few barriers between the teams, so a disease might be able to spread. Also, there are a lot of common spaces that workers share, areas to eat lunch together, change clothes, or socialize.
To deal with these issues, Warby Parker took a day to unbolt its production process at its optical lab and then completely reassemble that process. Everyone there now can stand at least 6 feet apart as they do their work, and workers from different units have now been asked to enter the lab through different doors.
We've staggered our lunches, we've staggered our start times to ensure that there is as little overlap between subunits within that facility as possible, so that if we did have to quarantine a portion of the team, it wouldn't bring down the entire facility.
There are other safety protocols that workers also have to follow before they even walk into the lab, like a mandatory temperature check. And workers also have to answer questions about whether they've been experiencing symptoms of COVID or have been exposed to someone who had COVID. Once inside, everyone has to wear, of course, a mask and gloves.
Plus, workplaces that are still up and running, like Warby Parker's optical lab, also have to make sure that workers are incentivized to comply with these new safety protocols. For example, if workers are feeling sick or think they might have been exposed to COVID, they're more likely to agree to stay home if they know that they'll still be paid. Warby Parker, for example, has offered an extra 2 weeks of paid sick leave so that they can do just that, Dave says.
And we ask them to quarantine for up to 14 days, ensure that they're not penalized, that they're paid during that time.
So those are some of the problems that manufacturing facilities face as they think about reopening. Corporate offices have some similar issues to manufacturing facilities. For example, a lot of them are open plan offices, like Warby Parker's New York City headquarters, and also, by the way, NPR's New York Bureau. And by the way, that's also
yes.
The main reason that I hate that office. Sorry, off track.
It's
I don't like open plan offices.
It's certainly not your charming neighbors. Well, in an open office, like exactly like we have at NPR, there are no walls separating people. So open plan offices probably do make it easier for diseases to spread. Temperature checks and asking questions can help. But until the technology is available to test more people for COVID-19 or to test who is immune from the disease, it will still be really hard to know when exactly it's safe to let somebody back into the office.
Some offices are thinking of putting in place new barriers, like maybe transparent plexiglass walls to separate people within the open office.
Like a fish tank.
Yeah, Dave says that did not strike him as such a great idea for Warby Parker.
We think that the majority of our team would rather continue to work remotely and use tools like Google Meet or Zoom and be productive that way, as opposed to kind of going into what feels like a maze. We're thinking through all possibilities at this point.
All of which is why so many of these offices, like Warby Parker's New York headquarters and like NPR's offices, are still closed.
Dave says Warby Parker might try to reopen its headquarters very gradually, in phases. Maybe at first just letting in specific workers who really need to use the equipment in the office, like photographers. And then later, maybe letting in only a few people or a few teams at a time. But he's not sure yet.
Yeah, and there's other considerations, too. Like, a lot of people are going to continue to be really uncomfortable riding public transit to work, like riding the subway, which is how a lot of Warby Parker employees get to work each day. It's how they commute. And it might just not make much sense to allow only small numbers of people into the office at a time if those same people are still going to have to log on to conference calls and Zoom chats with the workers who are not there that day. Not when they can keep doing that from the comfort and safety of their homes.
After a quick break, we look at retail stores. Warby Parker has more than 100 of them. And in those stores, safety matters not just for the people who work for Warby Parker, but also for people who shop in those stores.
Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Co-CEO Dave Gilboa points out that unlike its optical lab or its corporate buildings, Warby Parker does not control who enters its stores because the stores are for customers.
Not sure if you've been in one of our stores recently, but they tend to be really crowded, not a lot of physical distancing.
Okay, bit of a humble brag there from Dave.
We're so crowded, it's terrible. Although it is true,
Warby Parker
stores get crazy and everybody piles up by the mirrors.
Yeah, you and I have been in those. I mean, it is kind of true. But right now, actually, Warby Parker stores are actually all closed, just like so many other retail stores are closed. And the point is that these stores are not originally designed to keep people apart. So it's going to be hard to convince people that they're safe to shop in or safe to work in once they do reopen.
And just like with other spaces, submitting customers to temperature checks and screening them by asking questions before they're allowed in can help. So can increased cleaning and sanitation and requiring that people wear masks. Also, limiting how many people can come into the store at the same time. Those are the obvious measures that a store can put in place. Warby Parker, for example, plans to do all those things.
Whether that would be enough to actually keep workers safe and to lure back customers is just tough to know right now. Dave says Warby Parker is also building some new technologies that could help. Specifically, technologies that will reduce the amount of physical contact that a customer will have with employees once they're inside.
For instance, when you want to try glasses on, but you need to measure the dimensions of your face so that they'll fit. For instance, if you happen to have a very small face, which every time I go to try on glasses, they tell me that I have an exceptionally small face.
Really?
Which, oh yeah. It doesn't make me feel great, by the way. But anyway, whatever size your face and head are, Warby Parker has designed a technology fix.
Our team has built in capabilities into an iPhone, an iPad, where we can take those measurements remotely without any physical contact.
Or when you go to pay for your glasses.
Instead of handing one of our team members a credit card, we built technology where we can just scan that credit card using an iPad camera.
But even so, there still just seems to be a lot of uncertainty about what these workplaces will look like for the next couple of years. And that's not because businesses aren't doing what they can to prepare to make these workplaces safer. It might just reflect the fact that there's still a lot of uncertainty about how successful the world will be in fighting COVID-19 itself. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan and fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator's editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.